content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in,
hello, everybody, and thank you very much for tuning into Spiritually Raw. Thank you so much. We have a great show planned for you today. And hell, don't forget to check us out every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday on BBS Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're also about 100 different other networks that you can find us. Simply just check out Spiritually Raw. And if you'd like to be a guest and display your message on our show, just go to spirituallyraw.com, fill out the information, and while you're at it, download a free copy of our book, Secrets to Interview Riches.
And keep an eye out on Patreon for Spiritually Raw Uncensored, where it takes this show, but take it right to the... Actually, we're going over the edge. We're not even... This show takes it to the edge. Uncensored actually goes over the edge.
So if you love Spiritually Raw, you're really, really going to love Spiritually Raw Uncensored. We have a birthday guest on today,
oh,
don't
yes,
we?
I
heard
do.
About that. Little mouse told me that.
Yes. Our
Are
next...
Are you supposed to say mouse or bird?
She's a little birdie.
Little birdie said that, yeah.
Happy birthday, first of all, to our guest, Michelle Anna Marie Santana.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to my daddy. Today's his birthday, April 6th. So today, welcome everybody to Hell and Back Again with Michelle Anna Marie Santana. She is an advocate for children who survived childhood sex abuse. And Michelle is changing the way that adults are talking about this epidemic. Michelle says, until we talk about it openly, without embarrassment, how on earth can we expect our children to? Out of the process of healing from Michelle's sexual childhood trauma abuse, she created the Angel Doll. It's Michelle's desire to start a foundation to make and distribute the dolls to girls who are victims of sexual abuse. The Angel Doll holds a heart that opens up and has a poem inside that reads, "Tell it to my child." Michelle's mission is to bring childhood sex abuse into the light and out of the darkness. Through her books, she shows parents that sexual abuse should be reported and not hidden because of the shame or embarrassment. She is the author of To Hell and Back Again and Tell It to My Son under her pen name, Michelle Santana. Her books can be purchased on Amazon.
Michelle Santana. So how you doing? Happy birthday again to you.
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so first of all, thank you for sharing your story. You know, it must have taken incredible strength for you to get out here and talk about this. So when you're back there, you know, taking us back into when you're born in Atlanta, Georgia, is that where this all began?
Yes, it did.
What age and who did this?
Perpetrators have a certain age of that they're attracted to. And when I was about 3 or 4 years old, my dad was molesting my older sister, who was 4 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
And so I was 3 or 4, she was 7 or 8. So at that time, I started stuttering severely.
Oh.
And, there were certain things I did during the night to drown out noise. And
you knew what was going on?
Yeah, and but you gotta remember, because of the intense of the trauma, I blocked it out my whole childhood.
Oh.
But yes, I witnessed it for 3 or 4 years, and then when I was 7 or 8 years old, my dad started molesting me, and I think because I had witnessed it for so long, when it got to happening to me, I really just, exploded with, don't do this to me kind of thing.
And then when you fired back, what happened?
I told my grandfather, and seeing a lot of this is just, how it feels in my soul of what happened. But I told my grandfather, my dad said I was lying, My sister said that it never happened, and my mom refused to acknowledge it, that it was happening, and she knew it was happening.
So when you told your grandfather, was it your dad's father?
That was my dad's father, and I was very close to my grandfather. Okay. And so I stayed with him a lot, and I can imagine I was really feeling safe at his house.
Okay, so
did
when
he
you
believe you?
Yes.
So
yes, and I never got to see him again after I told.
Oh, because
my
then
dad moved us away.
Your dad moved us away. Now, did you report this or try to report? So your mom wasn't believing you. Your sister says you're making it up. Your dad's just not even saying this even happened. So now, what's the dynamic like when you get moved away? Where did you move to? And then what's that family dynamic like then?
Oh, it's very chaotic. My mom's on drugs. I'm outside playing most of the time, you know, and I guess living in my own little world and I was really good at hiding how I was feeling, but I know I was, you know, very uptight, anxious, nervous, and at the same time trying to act like nothing was wrong. And I disassociated from the trauma. You know, I completely disassociated from it as if it never happened. So therefore, from then on out, there was dynamics I remember of my family, and a lot of it was my mom was severely addicted to drugs, and it was all about taking care of her, you know?
Did you, in your mind, disassociate? Like, do you go into a split personality where you step out of your person, one personality, just to try to cope and deal? Like, how does a child do that?
I don't know. That's what I would love to learn. But yes, in one of my counseling sessions, I've had some amazing counselors over the last 20 years when this came to light in 1995. And one of my counseling therapists was a specialist in trauma, and she had a therapy she used called EMDR. And it's eye movement. I'm sorry, I don't know.
No, it's okay.
EMDR, and she attached something to one side of my wrist to the other side, and it would vibrate from one side to the other. And I distinctly, like, I remembered it like it was, you know, yesterday or an hour ago, going into this old building, and, you know, it was exciting, you know, and I was there in this therapy session going in as a child, going into these different rooms, just exploring these really antique old toys. You know how, like, when you go in an antique store and you're just looking at antiques? That's what it was like going into these different rooms as a child, exploring toys.
Michelle, let me bring you back here. I want to try to really make sure our audience can get a great perspective of this. So you went to see this lady. Therapist, yeah. So,
therapist,
so you went to see the therapist in 1995. This came all about. Now,
this was in 2007.
This was in
I was in years and years of counseling.
Got it. And now she put something, was like an electrode or something. She put something on your.
Yeah.
Okay. So then did that trigger that memory back again for you? Okay. So that triggered that memory back for you. So between the time of 2007 and when you got molested, what happened there? Did you lock this away? I mean, was this in a box or something somewhere within you? So you didn't.
It was like I didn't know who I was until 1995, and I went through the process of learning my brother molested my children, and I reported it. Went through the process of, you know, all of that, investigations and this and that. And I had a psychotic episode at that same year in 1995. And it was just too overwhelmingly
horrific
to my mind, taking this all in.
How old were you?
1995.
How old were you?
I was about 30-something.
Okay, so 30-something. So in 1995...
32 years old.
32. So you had a psychotic episode at 32, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so what was that psychotic? Yes. I mean, did they have to commit you somewhere? What happened?
No, they actually... I have some really cool friends that took me to a specialist, a psychiatrist, and they prayed for me. And after, a few hours, I was okay after, But yeah, I went through some really bizarre, like I had inclinations of horrible things that was going to happen to me and my family that day.
But when you went to the place of, you see what it's like when I try to get a question in? I know it's impossible. But when you went to the place of where you locked this down for a while, was there ever a place between when it came back to surface or this therapist helped you bring it back to service, was there ever a time where your family felt like it was relatively normal? You would sit and have dinner together, holidays. I mean, was there any of that?
I don't remember. I don't remember none of that. That's the issue. I don't remember nothing that went. It's all blocked out. My memories of what it was like inside the household of my family is just wiped out. I don't remember it. I do remember some things that, I do remember we prayed at the dinner table. There were times I couldn't get up till I ate certain vegetables, that kind of thing. But other than that, it's just blocked out. I have memories of outside my home, but even some of those good memories are blocked out. And that's what's horrific, it's just lost.
All right, well, just hang tight there. We got more with Michelle when we come back, everybody. We've got to take a quick break.
The year is 2021, and the world finds itself under the direct control of an unquantifiable, unidentifiable, stealthy satanic conspiracy whose goal is nothing short of snatching the souls of everyone. Get your copy of Terry L. Cook's riveting new sci-fi novel, The Duke of Hell, The World's Final Dictator, and get lost in a tale of planned calamities engineered by a secretive cabal intent on preparing the world for the arrival of its demonic alien master. While the hellish chaos begins to extend globally, only a very few are aware that Earth has entered its final hour. The Duke of Hell, The World's Final Dictator, grabs hold of your conscience and doesn't let up until the very last page has been read. And even then, it leaves you wanting more. The Duke of Hell, The World's Final Dictator is available now in either paperback or Kindle formats from DukeOfHell.com. Buy it now at DukeOfHell.com. That's DukeOfHell.com. Get your copy today at DukeOfHell.com.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. I know you've been dying to get some questions in, yeah?
Well, yeah, I have a question. January was Human Trafficking Awareness Month, Michelle. Trump is a huge advocate for child sex abuse and trafficking and slaves, and there's some crazy shit going on right now. I was just wondering if you had any thoughts or if you're familiar with what's going on underground.
Yes, I have taken some classes on child trafficking. I can't remember her name, but our domestic violence shelter up in Blairsville, a woman named Betsy Ramsey, there's grants that allow her to do training sessions for advocates for children or adults and to law enforcement to teach them, about these different topics. And I listened in one of these classes to a woman that rescues children, from sex trafficking. And it's horrific. And I know as an adult looking back to my childhood, hearing her teach on the, you know, explain what's going on, I realized, you know, that could have happened to me. I easily could have been caught up in that trauma of being kidnapped, because I tried to run away a couple of times and I never went through with it. I think mostly because I was nervous and scared from my stuttering as a child. So, yeah, it's...
What was your social life like?
It's horrible that that could...
Michelle, what was your social life like when you were... After all this was... I mean, even though... Okay, so the family was disconnected, for lack of a better term. So your social life with friends, were you able to make friends? Were you, you know, were you in groups of people?
I made really good friends with boys as adolescents, you know, young in my younger years. And I loved to climb trees, build tree forts, and that such things, ride my bike, climb Stone Mountain. I probably climbed Stone Mountain hundreds of times as a child. But I still know I had this fear in me, you know. I didn't know what it was.
Were you able to be, these boys that you were making friends with, were you intimate with them, or was it something that you needed to shut down from that? What was the dynamics there?
Well, actually, when I was about 11 or 12, there was one occasion that there was a boy that, you know, we played together. And, you know, as shameful and embarrassing that as that is, you know, I'm not going to let myself, you know, take those feelings in, because I couldn't help it. You know, it's what happened to me. It's what I learned. But I know that is a symptom of kids that have been sexually molested. They act out together with other kids. So yeah, I did that as a young kid. And then as I got into my teenager years, I got into drugs. It was really easy to let go of my fear, you know, getting into drugs and alcohol and going to parties. But I still was, you know, really, really nervous. But yes, I was very promiscuous, and that's something that has taken years and years to heal from. And that's the thing, most kids that are sexually abused and they grow up with these behaviors into teenage years and adult, it's almost impossible for a lot of people to heal from.
What's your relationship with your sister?
My relationship with my sister is not very good, because one moment she's really, you know, admires what I'm doing with my life, and she says, okay, if that's what you think happened, okay. But then on another aspect, we'll get into these fights, because then she'll say, no, none of that happened.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, we you know, have gone years and years talking, then we don't talk, and at this point of time, we are not talking. She actually lived with me a few months last year, and it brought up more memories, more feelings of what it was like being told that I was lying, that it didn't happen.
Do you think,
you know, because of the fights we were having?
Do you think she's suppressed it? She blocked it out, or she just doesn't want to talk about it?
She can't deal with it. I think she has told herself over and over all these years that it didn't happen, that maybe she has been able to make herself believe it didn't happen. But it's hard because of her, how she reacts to me. It's like she can't deal with it.
What about your dad?
You know,
is your dad still alive?
Yes, my dad is 81. So he's about 81 years old, and he looks like he's about 100. And he's in assisted living home, and I don't speak to him.
When's the last time you did speak to him?
I did speak to him because I went down to help my sister out, and there was a certain situation going on that, yes, I saw him last Father's Day.
Was there any sense?
And I really...
Michelle, was there any sense of when you saw him that he had a look of or a feeling of that he was a remorse there? Or like, hey, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You saw that. Did he say it to you, or was it more of a feeling?
He has always told me that I don't remember doing that to you, but I'm sorry. You know, you said I did it. I don't remember it, but I'm sorry. Please forgive me, kind of thing. And it's taken a lot to be able to get to the time in my life that I was at last Father's Day that I could tell him, I forgive you. You know, I've forgiven him years ago, but you still have to go back through that over and over, forgiving.
All right, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We got to go to break, everybody. All right, more with Michelle when we get back.
Okay.
Sherry Onshara, medical intuitive, international best-selling author, creator of the Onshara Method. So within 10 minutes or less, you begin to resolve and dissolve the root cause of the painful symptoms that you have an issue with. How? A unique process that unlocks deep-seated emotional pain, stress, and trauma by facilitating the release of core issues that reside within the body. Sherry's clients discover that healing does not take a long time at all when Sherry Onshara gets to the core of why the issue started. So get the clarity to heal yourself, your relationships, and live the best life ever. Go to sherryonshara.com to schedule an appointment or for more information at sherryonshara.com. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Billie Jean, certified in NLP and Reiki Master. Billie Jean's unique approach to drumming and native healing, as well as her coaching and mentoring, provides a deep healing in animals and humans. It is Billie Jean's mission to connect you to Mother Earth, because really, isn't that what it's all about? You will notice a tremendous difference in the spirit energy around you immediately following your session with Billie Jean. So to book your session or for rates, contact Billie Jean at spiritwalker5678@gmail.com. And that's Billie Jean at spiritwalker5678@gmail.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you so much. Michelle, so getting back to what we're talking about, so you have forgiven your dad officially now. You've let this go, but yet you're out there. So he's got that. You had that conversation with him. So you have completely forgiven him, yeah? So this is good now? You're good?
Yeah.
You're good with him? Okay. So will you...
But I wouldn't want to see him.
But you wouldn't want to.
But I'm good in my heart.
Yep. There's two different sides to that. Got it.
Do you think that it is hereditary? It ran in his family? It happened to him?
Yes.
Do you...
Yes, when...
Go ahead, Michelle.
Go ahead. When I learned my brother molested my daughter and my son, he started talking about things, and he did tell me his great aunt molested him.
What did you do when you found out that your brother molested your children? Is that when you had the breakdown? Or is that what caused the breakdown?
See. Yes.
I can see why.
That's when all this started coming up. Yeah, I found out a few days before Mother's Day.
Oh,
yeah. And I remember going to church and you know, everybody celebrating Mother's Day, and every Mother's Day, you know, is really, really hard for me. And to think that my brother and me. He did things to me as a child, and I let my kids, you know, around him. I thought we were just bad kids. I didn't know that was abuse too. I was going to counseling with my daughter to a therapist.
Is that when you found out, did your daughter say it to the counselor and you were sitting there, or did your daughter actually tell you?
My daughter actually told me when I picked her up from her having a day with my brother, and her behavior was so outrageous, just running around, throwing fits, and it was at a ballpark, and we had met there because she had T-ball practice. She was five or six years old, and my brother sat there at a tree while she was in the outfield in practice, and she was just standing there sucking her thumb because she was so scared. Aww. And when we were leaving the park, I asked her what was wrong, and she said, Mark made me play doctor.
Uh-oh.
And then I never could get her to say anything else, and my son was sitting there in the car, and he said, yes, you need to tell her what he did to you. And that's when I learned he had been molesting my son for 5 years.
What?
And the behavior she did that day was the exact same behavior. I can go back and look the exact day that it first happened to my son.
When's the last time you saw your brother?
I haven't seen my brother probably in 10 years.
Okay, now, did you file any of this with the police?
Yes.
And did they prosecute him?
I took my daughter to Eggleston Hospital. There was evidence of molestation. They charged him with her, but they would not charge him with my son, and that's been hard for our family to deal with.
Why is
but
that?
He
why,
got 10
why would,
years.
Why 10, did,
he did get 10 years?
He got 10 years probation.
And why didn't they charge him with your son?
They told me that my son would not say what happened or that anything happened, but you know, when my son grew up and he was over, you know, become of age, we went back to the sheriff's department. He wanted to press charges, and we went back, and that's when we learned that he did tell them what my brother did to him. And the detective we spoke to when my son was 18 years old said he was saying the exact same thing then that he said as a child. And that's when I went and researched their case, and I don't know what happened. I don't know why they didn't. I think it has a lot to do with it's very hard to prosecute when families are so erotic within each other. You know, because the assistant district attorney, her name is Pam South. She's a judge now in Gwinnett County, okay? And I remember her saying, your dad has called me up and talked to me and blah, blah, blah. And
so it's like a good old boy network, huh?
Right, that's exactly what it sounds like.
All right, hey, Michelle, we're coming down the end of the show here. I know there's so much to talk about with you. We definitely would love to have you back at another time. But can you tell everybody real quick about your angel dolls and where they can find out about that, and also how they can get a copy of your book and anything else you'd like to share with our audience before you leave us today?
Well, I've designed an angel doll and have made several, and I have registered the company name as Angelica's Child Abuse Recovery, and I'm in the process of getting this going. So I don't have a lot of information to give on that at this time. I would like to, you know, get volunteers in my area to begin helping us make angel dolls, and then one day hire others that have survived any kind of child abuse to make the dolls and give out to children.
All right. No, that's great. That's
how can they get a hold of you if they want to help make the dolls?
They can email me at mnmgreenbacks@yahoo.com.
And then they can get your books, right, to Helen Back and tell it all my son.
Amazon, and yes.
Got it. So that's Amazon.
And I'm on LinkedIn.
He's on LinkedIn.
Yes, you can Google the book, Tell It All My Son, and you can find me on LinkedIn. And you can correspond with me that way, too.
And it's her birthday. Don't forget, everybody. So another round of applause for you on that one. So.
And they can also go to BBS Radio Spiritually Raw and just put Michelle Anna Marie Santana in the search, and it will pop up, and it has all of her information, her links, and you can connect with her that way as well.
All right, Michelle, listen, lots of love to you.
You can find me on Facebook.
Facebook, too. All right.
With that name.
Facebook. All right, I love it. That's it. You got that southern draw. Hey, so listen, lots of love to you, and all the best. Enjoy your birthday. Spoil yourself today. You know,
okay.
Do something fun for yourself. And
all
right, thank you again for being on here with us. So, everybody, I hope you enjoyed it, because we mostly certainly did on this end. And don't forget, coming up soon, Spiritually Raw Uncensored. You're going to really love it. Yeah,
it's going to be wild.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. And together, we will turn the key to global harmony and create a unified world. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Look up and I see stars out tonight. Look up and I things just ain't right. Look up and I hear the people cry. I look up and I wonder why. Don't you want to know what is? Have changed for me.